is money.
It's nothing.
Balling, balling.
Allah.
Premium or nothing.
When them or nothing.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Never let me get a boo. Fuck it, what they're not.
Welcome back to Couch Chronicles, Therapist After Dark.
Welcome.
We obviously have a new person on the couch today. However, we're going to jump into some mindfulness first before we do that. So, as you guys know, go ahead and get yourself into your mindfulness position. Back is straight but not rigid. Your feet are planted on the ground so you can feel how solid that earth is beneath you. We're going to start off by taking two cleansing breaths, but that first breath, just do it at whatever pace feels most comfortable to you. Let's do that together now. For that second inhale-exhale series, for the inhale, what I would like you to do is to really contact that diaphragm by deeply breathing and really expanding that chest or that stomach. And then on the exhale, you're going to pretend that you are blowing out of a straw. So it's going to be slow, deliberate, and intentional. Let's do that together now. Go ahead and keep your eyes closed for the rest of this mindfulness practice. I'm going to invite you to let yourself feel at ease in this present moment. Slowly take in your surroundings, recognize your thoughts, your feelings, and physical sensations. I invite you to open yourself to the moment, just as a flower opens itself to the rays of the sun. And as you open yourself and notice these thoughts and become aware of these feelings, I'd like you to name these feelings silently to yourself. Observe your experiences as if you are watching a movie. Let your thoughts, your feelings, and your sensations come and go as they are. Let go of any judgment. It is okay to feel however you are feeling. Something that you can tell yourself to drive this home is, this is how it is right now. And there's no need for you to change. No need for you to do anything differently. We're going to move from watching our thoughts, our feelings, and our sensations like a movie to more curious exploration. What's going through your mind? What words are you noticing? What emotions are you feeling? And if you were to split your body in half, the top being one section, the bottom being another section, where are these feelings coming from? How are these feelings being experienced in your body? Is it light? Is it heavy? Is it soft or could it be harsh? Sense the most vulnerable part of yourself and reflect on what that part of you needs in this moment. Some have said acceptance. Some say forgiveness or love. Others are content with belonging. Whatever that vulnerable part of yourself needs in this moment, be open to it, welcome it, and give yourself the gift of it. I'm now going to invite you to be kind toward your experience as you give that vulnerable part of yourself exactly what it's asking for. I'd like you to give yourself a comforting message. This message could be, you're okay, you're doing your best, or something as simple as, I love you. But if none of these words feel like they resonate with what you need, go ahead and give your comforting message in the exact wording, in the exact tone that feels welcoming to you. I'd like you to finally think of a special person, a friend, a family member, a pet, maybe even a spiritual figure. And I want you to imagine that their love is flowing to you. That love is like a beam. It's pure, it's direct, and on impact, it leaves healing and compassion. Open yourself to that healing and compassion until you feel calm or you can feel centered and slow. To conclude this practice, I'd like you to take 2 slow, deep breaths. And I'm going to challenge you to continue to be mindful and to be kind to yourself for the rest of the day. And when you're ready, go ahead and open your eyes and bring yourself back.
Thank you, Fran.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. So, yeah. What was that like for you guys today?
My mind was pretty active today. Mm-hmm. I definitely found myself kind of fighting this feeling of like angst, like, okay, I want you to hurry up and get to the end. Mm-hmm. And also like a feeling of being rushed. Like there were definitely some moments where I was like, oh, I wish I had more time with this, or I didn't really get to settle into how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. So there was kind of this like push and pull. I thought I was non-judgmental of that experience, just like, oh, well. It's a day, so my mind is just having things to offer me, and like, that's fine.
Okay. So that push and pull that you felt, right, I guess in the mindfulness, it asks us, like, if we were to split our body in half between the top and the bottom, where exactly would you say that push and pull was located?
Ironically, I didn't really feel a lot of sensations. And so when we got to that part, I made note of that I'm not really feeling anything, and even thinking about it didn't really generate sensations, which is what I usually anticipate. So I just kind of made a note like, that's interesting.
Not too much going on in your body during that time.
Yeah.
Okay. And also an openness and a non-judgmental stance kept around that?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you said that in your mind, right, a lot of action, a lot of ready to move on or slow down, or maybe just unsure about where exactly it wanted to settle in there.
Yeah.
Would you say that when you find yourself in that movement, that flow of like thoughts and things like that, what do you often have an urge to do around that experience?
I usually have the urge to like hurry up and settle, like hurry up and just feel grounded. Mm-hmm. But today I didn't rush that process. I kind of just made note that there was some push and pull there and stuck with it. I think that the constant thought that came to mind was that like, this will be over at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah. I can withstand.
Message.
Yeah. Like that I could withstand like whatever that push and pull was in the moment. So yeah.
That's powerful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for offering.
Of course. Who's next?
I guess I can go. Like Tyler, I had Like, it was hard for me to kind of ground myself, I think, into the session. Mm-hmm. Because I'm paying attention to a lot of, like, external stimuli. And then I think in my second deep breath that you prompted, I felt a little bit more settled.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mind went wherever it went, and it came back to connect to a feeling. Mm. And there was joy and anxious at the same time. So there was a curiosity. It was like, oh, that's a two opposite type of emotions. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. where's the joy at? So I explore with curiosity. Where's the anxious at? And I, you know, in my mind, I was like, oh, the joy come from, like, you love doing this. This is great. Mm-hmm. Like, gratitude. Mm-hmm. And the anxious came from, I hope everything worked out. There's that part.
Yeah.
And then I was just, I followed suit through. I thought it was interesting when you said if our bodies were split into two parts, where we'll be. And I was like, oh, it's a little bit distorted. How do I split two parts of my body? What's really going on in my body? Mm-hmm. And I noticed that my stomach was cramped. I said, oh, this makes sense because it's probably where the anxiousness kind of came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then my feet was uncomfortable, so I had the urge to move it. And I said, you just noticed it. You actually been in this position, like, you know, in my mm-hmm. mind. Yeah. So I just kind of allowed myself to kind of settle into it. And yeah, by the time, I think by the time the practice ended, I think I felt I was fully present without judgment.
Yeah.
And my system seems to be settled because I wasn't paying attention to any cramping, any physical sensation. Nothing was really, like, in my peripheral.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from the beginning, noticing, like, an activity, an arousal, just like a certain level of upness in your body. And not a questioning of it, not you trying to direct it in any kind of way. But interestingly enough, you ended at the destination that you were looking to have from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Where you just, oh, I'm not really paying attention to all the different sounds, even though that is part of your experience, right? Yeah. What you about to do, plug your ears up while you're doing the mindfulness practice.
Right.
And so you're hearing those things. Okay. But I'm going to allow that kind of experience to just kind of go and do whatever it's doing at that point. And then you're also kind of noticing that, you're kind of noticing that your, body had two, I guess I would. It's interesting what you said. That are they opposing to you? Because joy and anxiety or anxiousness, how do you kind of come to those experiences that you would see them being different?
Well, because when I'm experiencing joy, I don't in my body. Anxious is not usually attached to it. The feeling of anxiousness.
Like
is
you
not
don't
usually.
Have anxious and joy at the same time.
No, this is the first time I've noticed. That's why I was curious. I'm like, if I'm joy, I'm straight through. Like I don't even notice like any discomfort, but there was a discomfort. And then I know my discomfort when my stomach is kind of cramping and my breathing is not as relaxed. You know, you ever breathe and you like you feel like you're holding your
it's
breath.
It's like labored or like not as clear.
So I was like, ooh, is that anxiety coming up in here too? I was like, well, that's different.
Yeah. So I guess the reason why I said that is because like there kind of might be an underlying judgment that anxiety is maybe like a bad or uncomfortable feeling that usually doesn't come with joy, that is a more pleasant, freer type of experience for you. But knowing like, no, I can house those things at the same time within me and it not be something I have to somehow reduce the anxiety to maybe
push
feel
away.
The joy a little bit like more.
Just
and I'm sure a lot
exist.
Of our viewers and listeners probably resonate with like when they have like two potentially opposing feelings, thoughts or things within them, they feel like they have to like get rid of one or somehow like amplify the other one when it's like, no, I can just house them and they be there and it just be something that shows up. So I appreciate you, you know, sharing your experience and being honest and authentic.
Thanks, Brian.
Hello, Dana.
Hello. Yes.
So tell me, what was your mindfulness practice like?
Yes. So for me, just like everyone else, I had juxtaposing emotions.
Mm-hmm.
What I was feeling, on one hand, I was feeling anxiety. And excitement.
Yeah.
And my stomach started talking while we were breathing. I was like, oh, you are too? And then I was also feeling this sense of just relief. And I felt that very much. But then I also had these feelings of curiosity, but also curiosity in preparation.
So you're like, what's next?
These ideas are coming into my head, but I realize I'm in preparing mode for something else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it's great to be excited and present for that, but I'm not being present for right now, mm-hmm. too. Yes. So mm-hmm. I started having a conversation in my head until you said, split your body in half. Mm. And that brought me back to more so my physical self.
Yeah.
And even though I couldn't fully, except for my stomach was like definitely lower half. We're anxious a little bit. I couldn't quite place everything that I felt except for in the jaw area. I definitely felt myself feeling relieved because sometimes I do grind or clench my jaw and I could feel the kind of vibrations from not doing that, but having done that for a while.
Yeah.
So those were some of the things I was feeling. And then when you said, what is kind of the affirmation or the thing to tell yourself? The thing that came to mind was that I am harvesting my blessings.
Okay.
And so I have to recognize that that is an action in and of itself, but it is to receive abundance. And so that was a nice way of like grounding myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so interesting. I definitely resonate with that experience of just feeling a lot of like just activation and just a lot of like almost electricity in the body, right? Like just feeling just like on. But sometimes I think we assume electricity or that, I would say stream of energy moving back and forth within us is like something that needs to be contained versus maybe something we need to just open around and might be getting us ready or might be exactly what we need for what we're moving into. So I loved how you, that comforting message really kind of like arranged and organized that experience in a way that felt more doable.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, I didn't change anything about what was happening in my stomach or in my body. I couldn't tell my stomach like simmer down, stop talking, stop doing what you're doing. You know, it's just this like, you know what? I'm going to be receiving. I'm going to be open to what happens next. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to go with that. And then all of a sudden, there's a settling. All this debris, all this stuff that's been rushing around just falls down. And that's such a comforting. And I think you said release and the vibration of not doing something that you would usually do. So nicely said. I really like that.
I
really
love that she used the word harvest as well. I think that felt very like a growth term.
Yes.
And something that feels like harvesting takes time. It takes intention and pace. And so I thought about that, like being very grounding, like knowing that it doesn't have to be done right now. It could just take your time.
I had the same thing because harvest is a word I've been hearing a lot lately. And I feel like this is a season of harvest. So it's one of those things when you said it, I was like, ooh, ding, ding. This is like a magic word for, you know, but yeah, it definitely coincides like with receiving and also with giving, like the both end factor. What about you,
Lovely? What was your experience like, Stephanie?
So it's so interesting. When you're the person who directs or facilitates mindfulness, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's this underlying maybe like pressure or expectation for you to want to have like the perfect scene or like the perfect like
the environment,
mood, like all of that stuff. And so when there's a lot of outward things happening, right? There's the sounds, there's, you know, a little dogs like moving around and movement and things like that. My mind is having a battle between like feeling an agitation because it's not as perfect or clean or without interruption as I would like. And I noticed that with myself is that like whenever I have planned something or I want to present something in a particular way, if there are these like extraneous circumstances or like variables, my mind cannot help but like
be pulled away or tapped
into. It's like I'm almost like trying to solve it but like by being fixated on why it's happening or how can I get it to like stop and taking me away from the focus of just like being here with you guys. But it didn't this time. I just could tell that my mind just, it's almost like the volume of things turned up because we were so, I felt so connected to you guys. We were so like in this like a symbiotic kind of space. It was low volume, like we were just really engaging. There was not really a lot of sounds, and then these little things interrupt. I'm just like, ugh. And I'm like, well, you know, it's fine. Like it's gonna be okay. I don't have to raise my volume to make it so that they can't hear the sound. I don't have to do anything. I can just, this is part of our experience. So I found myself not only being able to consolidate that or like come to a solution in my mind about that, my body didn't really have like a response. Like I'll notice like a tightness in my stomach or my fingers or my legs get really tight when I'm like almost bracing or trying to like endure something that's frustrating. But I feel pretty like loose and open in this particular moment, which is nice.
Yeah, it seems like you kept on.
Yeah, I did, which was... I feel like it's nice to know that like, oh, like, look at you upgrading a little bit.
I was just about to say that. You definitely are. Yeah. Well, this was good. And I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, let's bring it back. We got a guest.
We do.
You know, I be excited. I be so excited when we have guests. But this guest, when it's a guest that I love, I get super excited. So, you know, I got to do my sister here some justice. So I got to read the bio.
Read that bio.
And then I'll do my own little personal bio because you're know how I do. All right. So this is Miss Dana Tenille Weeks. All right. Dana has her own podcast, which is The Rest of Us. Great podcast. Check it out. We'll put it there for you. But The Rest of Us explores rest and self-liberation for professionals and advocates who are losing themselves to the demands of work, loved ones, friends, and strangers in this dizzying world. Liberation is the key word for the rest of us, and she gives gems, okay? But just a quick background. For nearly 15 years, Dana worked at two global law firms in Washington, D.C. as a lawyer lobbyist, where she was recognized for her advocacy and craft nationally. At the end of 2021, Dana resigned as a managing director after waking up one day to find that she did not know the person behind her success. In 2022, she took a year-long journey of rest. This life-changing experience led Dana to launch Thrive Architects in 2023, a firm that built advocacy, organizational health, and well-being platforms for organizations, communities, and people to thrive. Love Dana that. Is also a poet, a publisher, an author. But the most important thing is Dana's also my god sister. Right?
The most important thing is title.
Yes, she is. Our parents are like our mothers, our best friends, and I would say our parents too, our best friends. And we grew up together. And I just appreciate the woman that Dana has always been true, been kind, been loving, even when we were younger. But the woman that she's becoming, and I slowed down on the resting part because she went full throttle with her career. And I know that stop, you know, was huge for you.
Yeah.
And just to see you coming out on the other side, I think is a testament to a lot of women, specifically women of color, who are pushed to the borderline of making their career their identity, and for you to have that detachment and really start living in your own values and your own gift. I'm trying not to get emotional, but yes, it makes me feel so proud to just be part of your tribe and be connected to you. So this is Miss Dana.
Welcome, Dana.
Welcome to our couch. Yes. We are so honored to have you.
We really are. I think that you are going to have some things that you can offer us today, and hopefully we can offer our audience.
Yes, and she's coming to talk about a really an important topic that we touched on early on, I think, in the season about rest and the importance of rest. But Dana really discussed rest in a different way that I feel the three of us feel like it's like an upscale to really what it means to pause, what it means to have liberation within pause, and what does that mean without carrying the guilt of it. So, Dane, I'm going to pass it on to you.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about, you know, how you got to this place and about the podcast.
Yes. So, well, first of all, thank you for holding space with me today.
Yes.
I genuinely love each and every one of you. I've known you since I've known myself. And so you're right. We have seen each other grow and evolve into various iterations of ourselves and continuously love each other and ourselves throughout that process. And And that requires a lot. Mm-hmm. And not everyone sticks around
during
that type of journey. Yeah. And I know that I've withdrawn a lot in that journey, and she was always still there. I just absolutely love you and the whole entire family.
Yes.
So the podcast itself, mm-hmm. The podcast is fairly new. Mm-hmm. Started it in January of this year. Mm-hmm. And it really was someone saying, you need to do it now. So it really was born out of ignorance. Maybe not the thoughts I had, but the timing of it, I didn't know what I was getting into.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew, and I said yes anyways, because I thought the time was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were coming off of an election where a lot of Black women felt betrayed even more.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know what, I need to figure out how to live differently.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we were entering a climate of so much uncertainty for a lot of people to an even higher degree.
Yeah.
And so even before then, people needed to rest.
Yeah. Yes.
But I think a lot of times, especially for Black women, they are told you need to take care of yourself and to rest, but they are not told how to. And so I wanted to take this journey that I've been on since 2022 and kind of crystallize it or distill it in a way where how can we talk about this in practical everyday ways or to get people to start thinking differently.
That.
So that's how the podcast was born.
Yeah.
And the name, I love the name. I was resting one day and decided to take a nap.
I was about to ask you, how did you
take a nap? And I said, you know what? The creative juices need to flow. And I just said, universe, help me with a name. And I took a nap and then went, and then I woke up and came up with the name. The
nice.
Rest of Us,
which
is a nice pun on the
It
name.
Is. Oh, yeah. I love that.
I never I really knew love how that came about.
Yeah.
I also like how you talked about really making rest practical.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I'm excited to learn. I
will do a caveat. Some of my theories may not make sense at the beginning, mm-hmm. but I try to break them down in practical ways for people to understand by the end. But it takes some time to, I think, decondition yourself of thinking what self-care is, which I challenge a lot. To holding space for you to rest, which is a different definition, a unique definition for me.
Okay. And I also think that the fact that you even say that, you know, it might seem strange or, you know, your theories or it might seem like not fully actualized. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not necessarily fair because as Black women, we are a complex and great entity that requires bold and out of the box solutions.
Yeah.
So sometimes it doesn't need to fall under what has been practiced before or what is well known by other races or you know, because mind you, most of the things out there are made by white cis men. So like, you know, already you thinking outside of that is going to look different and not always translate because we've been fed in a particular way. But you giving us might give a little flavor that we need. So I appreciate,
Seasoned self-care. Okay, so let's get into some of our questions that we have for Dana. Just starting with defining liberation. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from you all. How do you define liberation for yourself? And what ways has fear been disguised as a protection for that?
I think culturally, I was born into a culture of liberation.
Yes,
so
period.
For me, liberation has always meant freedom. It's always meant unapologetically being myself. And I grew up, thankfully, like probably different than most Caribbean household around where I did have parents who really embodied being, you know, authentically, and not punishing me for it and really like speaking my voice in openness. So when I think about liberation, is the right for me to speak and show up as I am. I think of the word freedom always, I connect it with liberation, but I also find that freedom is different for different people.
It is, right? That's self-defined.
Yeah. So, for me, liberation is not giving up on that.
I'm hearing it. I'm hearing freedom, and I'm also hearing this theme of authenticity, right? Yes. Like I wrote on my journal, like nothing more liberating than being yourself, yes. right? Like yeah. really leaning into who you are and being open to like define that over and over again mm-hmm. as well. Like we don't have to
yeah.
be who we are in one space and time and yeah. continue to be that way. There's always room for expansion, growth, whatever
Agreed.
Comes next. Yeah.
Agree,
yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Well, liberation, right? I think from what you're saying, freedom to mm-hmm. authenticity, it also gives unburdened.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of the times, like when you think of like being liberated,
yeah.
when slaves were liberated, when mm-hmm. we think about when countries are liberated, colonies are liberated, mm-hmm. there is an oppression. Right. Yeah. There is a weight, a heaviness, a constraint
True.
Even.
True.
So to me, liberation is unburdening yourself.
Yeah.
It
True.
Is being like almost an increase of movement
True.
In a direction that feels authentic,
mm-hmm.
natural, real to you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've wrote so many things. Liberation means breaking free from the labels other people place on you, mm-hmm. dreams other people want you to fulfill for them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like breaking free from constraints I've even put on myself or adopted from other people
yeah.
around mm-hmm. me specifically, because, mm-hmm. you know, we are not too distanced from, mm-hmm. you know, our...
Sure.
family, our parents, our ancestors, our cultural
exactly.
traditions, you know, the patriarchy, we're not removed from that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I find at times that, you know, my attitude toward even certain struggles that I have
yeah.
come from these constraints and these expectations and assumptions around what I could do or what is possible or what I'm allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mm-hmm. I can go on for that, but I'll leave it there.
Good deal. What were you doing?
I would say for me, so I'm going to back up a little bit and talk
yeah.
about my definition of rest,
mm-hmm.
which then correlates to how I view liberation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So rest for me is very unique. When I talk about rest, I talk about it in two ways. I talk about it as a mindset, but I also talk about it as a cultivated space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So often when people hear rest, they're like, oh, yes, you're going to tell me how to sleep better. And I'm like, okay. because what I'm really also focusing on is the mindset. So rest for me, the unique definition long form is a liberating form of self-acceptance where you consciously navigate the world in your agency and belonging.
Mm-hmm.
Repeat that again.
Sure, I will, because it's a long form. I'll give you the short form that's easier to remember. Long form, a liberating form of self-acceptance where you consciously navigate the world in your agency and belonging.
Mm-hmm.
Short form, rest means being deeply connected to your agency.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I like to say you're not at rest if you're not at rest.
Mm-hmm.
So you can meditate in the morning, but if you are a person who's always second-guessing yourself, that's what you're going to do the rest of the day.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you're not at rest.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a massage, but if you are a person that carries your tension,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be tense by Monday.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say rest is about a mindset and a cultivated mm-hmm. space. But the undercurrent, I think, to rest is truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the way that you are connected to your agency and belonging is how much you're deeply willing to hold the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have these three definitions that one of them is liberation. There's comfort. And comfort is this idea that you're living a life where you're unwilling to recognize truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you're deeply mm-hmm.
rejecting that reality
from your agency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Deeply. But you do things to protect you from being deeply disconnected.
Deeply disconnected, yeah.
Then there is peace. Peace is when you can recognize the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You can name it, but you are unwilling to act on it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then liberation is when you're ready and willing to act on your truth and the truths. And you do it.
Mm-hmm. I love and that. So, I love that breakdown because it really kind of gives us some steps, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
starting with the, I kind of think about that in my psychology brain, like the stages of change.
Yes.
Right? Where we're maybe more in that pre-contemplation stage
yeah.
when we're thinking about it and we're finding peace. And the liberation is that action. I'm committed to this. I'm committed to really accepting and fully
participating in like what that looks like to be free and to engage in rest. I love that definition. Yes.
And that then goes to the definition, because now you're more intentional about how you show up in the world as opposed to being told. So,
yes.
You know, Dana, one key thing you said, because I taught it in a group I taught today, is truth.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is something that we struggle with as a people, is what does it mean to actually be true with ourselves, to give, like to live in truth? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a struggle, because living in truth forces you to admit all facets of you, areas where you fall short, areas where you are winning, areas where you made mistakes, areas where you feel inadequate, areas where you feel inferior, areas where you feel like freedom, where you feel like this. So truth really forces you to sit with your full whole aspect. Mm-hmm. And I wonder sometimes, does that get in the way of people finding rest or liberation? Mm.
I think so. I think most people are sitting in their comfort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they cannot fully achieve liberating rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, and those things is because how we've been conditioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so oftentimes when I talk about rest, people always go, what is it that I need to learn? And I'm always like, what is it that you need to unlearn?
Yeah.
To decondition yourself. Mm-hmm. So for example, not knocking Black Girl Magic. Not knocking it.
I know where you go with this.
But when we view ourselves as magical, sometimes it denies ourselves to actually feel what we're feeling.
The human space.
The human part of us.
Yeah, and I think Stephanie had talked about that.
Yeah. Specifically, because even the things that you had even said about like truth.
Yeah.
We know in DBT, right, we're often talking about there is no absolute truth, meaning like a truth that every single person, regardless of race, gender, sex, culture, can like, you know, point to. We talk about that there are kernels of truth that you yourself can only really fully stand in because of your learning history, because of the things that you've been able to witness. Like truth or fact comes through things that are observable to you. Mm-hmm. Did I see it? Did I smell it? Did I taste it? Did I feel it in my body? Did I hear it? Mm-hmm. But if we are blinded, as you say, to seeing, hearing, feeling certain things of our experience, it does create a jail or like you said, a comfort in our own mess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it gives the pig that's rolling in the, in the sty, you know, type of thing.
And to your point, oftentimes people talk about fear, and I know I'm sitting around therapists. I am not a therapist. You all will have better language than I do for some of this, but oftentimes people go, what is it that you fear? And I go, what is it that you're familiar with? Because fear for me now means true threats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Familiar kind of unpacks a lot more because now I got to question, what is the environment that I'm in, or what do I believe serves me?
Yeah.
And then ask the question, does it actually?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is now another truth.
Yeah.
That I am, well, I'm trying to reckon with myself to get to my truth. Does it serve me?
So I like that you're saying, like, there's, it's one thing to be able to understand what truth is. It's another thing to understand how to reveal it.
Yeah.
Because there's so many, I guess, ways in which that we are ignorant to getting to like our truth. Like, you know, sometimes you have to talk to the right person who comes at it at the right angle for you to be like, oh,
to make that click. That,
and I, and that feels safe for me to take in. Cause sometimes in, you know, younger self, someone might've presented that to you. You're in a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
And they, you know, may have made a comment about your demeanor and you wasn't really willing
or open.
Wanting to take it from that person. Maybe 5 to 10 years later, a safer, softer person. I think about Jay all the time, right? It's one thing when she tells me or she brings her observations or like her things, I'm much more willing and open to hear it and then get a better,
There's safety vision. And authenticity in that, right?
Yes.
Because you know the space that Jay is coming from.
Exactly. Yeah. Versus before with others, it felt like, are you, is this an attack? Is this your way of trying to bring me down? Like sometimes I feel like our truths feel like threats, attacks on ourself, on our ego, maybe.
I can hear that, right? I think I'm also maybe hearing from Dana's standpoint that the truth is really also rooted in like your willingness to experience and like,
a part of that experience is going to be painful, right? Yes, and so facts. Your willingness yes. to experience that pain really brings you to that mm-hmm. more like liberated and like free yes. space.
And to that point, is that I tell people, some people aren't ready to be liberated. Sure. They're not ready to disrupt themselves or others. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Ooh. For that mm-hmm. very reason.
Repeat that one.
No, and seriously.
Dana's doing
because I'm like, I say that all the time. I'm like, some of y'all are not ready to be liberated, and that's okay.
Because yeah. that's the point. Go ahead, finish. Yeah, because this is the point that I was going to bring up to us is to think about. How about for people, particularly Black women, or even women in general, not even Black women, who feel like they don't have time to space mm-hmm. because of responsibility,
yes.
whether it's finances, children, family, and so forth and so on, to actually experience liberation.
Because mind you, our goals.
To actually experience
too.
Rest,
yeah.
right? Because rest sometimes can appear to be a privilege for mm-hmm. some, right? Mm-hmm. You had to do an abrupt stop. But before you had to do the abrupt stop, you had to make sure you had things in place, or you didn't have to make sure you have things mm-hmm. in place, being able to do it.
Because what is a year of rest? Like, what does that look like?
When you said that, I literally was like, wow.
So how do we really have a discussion with people who feel like
rest is a privilege?
Exactly. And they don't have the space or the time to actually
do it.
Make it.
Yeah, that's a great question. So mm-hmm. I tell people that if you sometimes are not at rest, the body is going to keep score.
Sure.
Yeah.
And yeah. so whether or not yeah. we like it, our body is going to lay us down.
Yep.
True.
In a different way.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's going to create more unrest in our yep. lives. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be proactive or reactive? Right.
Also, I think there's something to be said that I think people think, and that's why I think some people look at self-care as a privilege.
Yeah. Yes.
Rest for me, I was born with is a birthright.
Required. Yeah.
Because innate. All it is requiring me is to decondition myself to get back to the details of how I was born.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit more? What do you mean by that?
Sure. So I am a huge supporter of the resistance movement.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
However, there are some ways that we use popular language around resistance that mm-hmm. I think are not helping ourselves. Mm-hmm. And resistance in protest, resistance into certain governmental structures, et cetera, there is terminology around that. Mm-hmm. However, when we say rest as resistance, or if we say that, you know, we're doing this in resistance, joy as resistance, all of this, we are always thinking in other people's framework.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
And it does not allow us to think in our own.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times people see something as a privilege because it is never an option. There's this binary decision making mm-hmm. or choices that we have in our life. Either I resist mm-hmm.
or
I can't be the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I challenge people on that binary. Mm-hmm. There are other ways that you deserve to live mm-hmm. and make those other ways real.
Yeah.
So prioritize rest.
Yeah, but I think you brought up a good point, right? Like how we sometimes can just kind of fall into like other people's agenda. Yeah. Why is that? Why do you think it's easier for us to attach to other people's agenda versus our own?
Because I think we've been conditioned to fight other people's agenda.
Sure.
That's how the system works.
Sure.
Facts. Speak.
Hello? That's Facts. How the system works.
Facts.
Yeah.
The moment I say, I'm going to reimagine something different for myself, I am no longer in the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it comes
out. And mind you, and as you said, the system is designed to knock those people.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Or to keep them in line. Right.
Place, yeah. Right. Like, you sticking up? Nope. Come right back down.
And mm-hmm. if I stick up, it's actually part of the system for me to constantly fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it denies my ability to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that is why I tell people, look, there are times, and I have nothing against the resistance movement. In fact, I'm a part. but I think we take language that is for a specific area.
Yeah.
And we popularize it.
Yeah. And misuse it.
Mm-hmm. And now it's become our identity.
Yes.
In some way.
And not even really understanding what it actually means mm-hmm. to embody that in different mm-hmm. parts of your life. Right. Mm-hmm. I think the problem with our culture is that we take a thing and we make it a culture norm.
Sure.
We literally make it a culture norm.
But again, struggle.
I think some of that comes from like
part of it. Like, how can we like, if we're used to always being seen as somebody that was a, like, accessory, like, when I think of black people in general, we were, like, bred in American culture or American to be an accessory, a tool, a thing for whiteness, for white people. So it's very easy for us to just take on the plight, the fight, the mission of somebody else, because that's kind of ingrained in that, in that culture.
Yeah. I also kind of look at it from an identity standpoint as well, right? Okay. Like, when you have an experience where, like, historically identity and culture has kind of been stripped from you, I think that kind of causes people to kind of grasp for straws. So, like, that's perhaps true. We're kind of just looking for something to ground in.
That's true.
And that's how we kind of get to the, where maybe misappropriating things or, like, overly identifying with things.
Right. And I would...
Go ahead, Will.
I would just also add to both of your points, love you all, is that oftentimes when we are, as you said, in history, we were a people who were commoditized. So when we fight, our accomplishment is the defeat of that thing. But we don't think about what is the evolution of us as a success. Right? And so that's where I'm trying to hold the space for that. I also think, generationally, we are in the moment where we can actually have these conversations.
And need it so bad. Like,
And I don't think many of us recognize we're now at a place where we can do that. And so I'm helping to curate the space with other people who are talking about rest. Because I do believe it's important.
But I think that is also a part of our liberation, like getting back to like what community and connection feels like. Y'all know we bring this up every single podcast. That community piece, that co-regulation, like being able to find yourself in safe spaces where it's like, I'm not only working on my individual healing, but also like I'm leading over to my neighbor. Attaching to her healing as well, like really contributing to that space is so necessary right now, especially.
To touch a little bit on what you said about identity, Tyler, is around what we talk about, is that we also grow growing up that our identity, our self-worth and who we are is predicated on our success.
Or production.
How we serve people. And that's another thing where we talked about like the people-pleasing complex come from and how we perform. We are taught to perform. And if you don't meet these requirements, and if you don't feel adequate, there's a sense of don't embrace inferiority. Don't embrace weakness. Don't embrace when you don't have it. Don't embrace the part of you
that's lesser. That, that's the, and that's what a lot of the stuff, when I work with Black women who are in high stakes jobs, high paying environments, like all of these things, the thing of rest almost in a way is communicating to the other people in that environment.
I can't handle it.
And, and that sometimes, like, being liberated from that is almost like, I've sometimes seen as like almost being stripped to a, like to your like light, like to the ends of your life. Like, your, like it almost feels like death when you release yourself from like, I am more than what I can do. But if everything, like my parents have literally told me, you cannot represent the family by not performing well. You're seen
intergenerational,
as less than, like it's quite but it's like, if you really think about like liberating ourselves from having to upkeep this strong nature in order to matter.
Right.
I think I've kind of, I've in my readings and like just kind of listening to more about like what is liberating and like combating the idea of like Black girl magic and like dehumanizing us in a lot of ways. I like settle in like, what does Black mediocrity look like? What does it look like for you to just exist or just to be and not be fighting to meet this particular standard?
Embrace the moments where you have inadequacy and inferiority as a moment and not just as who you are.
It's part of your experience.
Embrace the moment where you're having feelings of laziness. Instead of tying it laziness, it's to the point where maybe we need to title it as rest. But I think the struggle becomes is when you are 40, 50, 60, 30, or even 20 years old, and the step it take the steps it takes to unlearn certain behaviors that are also were put in place out of trauma of protection, Yeah. That's the part that's scary to most people.
It's very scary. I would say, too, for me, when I was on my journey of rest, there was a point in the last Tuesday in April, exactly, when I there was a famous poet by the name of Patricia Smith, and I was on a Zoom with her and 29 other people. And she was just saying everything she said, I felt as if God was talking through her. I do not remember anything she said, but I could feel everything she said. And I had all these tears coming down my eyes. And by the time they got to me to ask a question, and it was on speaker view, I was a blubbering mess. And so people were like, love you. I was like, I don't know these people, but thank you. But the reason I bring it up is because I went to, before then, I could feel heaviness in my body, but I could not name a single emotion. I was numb. And I went to bed at 11 p.m. that night, woke up at 3:15 p.m. the next day, and I could start naming my feelings. And some of the feelings that rose to the surface quite quickly were anger, frustration, disappointment, resentment. And when I began to unpack that, I realized that all of those feelings, even though they were directed at other people, were more directed at me. And I think there were a few things that came from that. One is that I began to realize that I could start, because I could start naming my feelings, I could start naming my role in my own suffering.
You could take ownership and responsibility of what you want, of you had,
And then two, it led me to realize that success does not require my inherent value. So people can tell me I'm successful, and I can actually be successful. Doesn't mean Dana is centered in it. My value is not centered in it. And so that made me think about, ask the question that I ask often, whose mountain am I climbing? Which allows me now to understand that only when I am centered in my inherent value am I thriving and climbing my own mountain. So I now... survival mode for me growing up as an immigrant child, and I love my parents. They are fantastic people. Favorite people on the planet. I love them. But they're immigrants and they were breaking generational cycles. And so the pathway for success for me was through survival. And now I have tried to unlearn by asking myself these two questions all the time when I'm posed a situation. Does this situation serve me? And how can I do it in a way that liberates me? And if I cannot honestly answer the question in a way to say yes, then I don't.
Let me put a little bit of edit. And you actually, numbness is the emotion. That night, your mind allowed yourself and your body allowed you to have a repertoire of other emotions that came up.
Because the numbness allowed the other things to come
out. Your body, what you felt is, you identify it as numb because we are taught, which we teach people, to title and have names for everything. You don't know what anger felt like, sadness looked like. We don't know it. It's different. But the numbness, you like, something in my body's connecting. There's more layers. Numbness has layers. So what your body did that moment when you surrendered to it that night, it opened and gave you a repertoire of what's the layers.
What you could connect with.
Thank you.
What's under
that's
that
why
layers.
I'm sitting around therapy.
You're right. Because numbness definitely is an experience, an emotional experience. Because when you feel mellow, an absence of anything negative, but not anything too high, that is definitely different than when you feel numb. And numb is a protective. Like, it's like your mind or your body, one of them believes that this thing is too much for you to really be able to process or deal with, or even are not present enough with yourself to do so. So it gives you this other palatable, more digestible experience, and you listen to yourself. Like, I like that. Like, I went to sleep at 11. I did not wake up until 3:15 the next day. Like, I gave myself the time to bring down the heat that was on, like, the machine of my mind or my body, whichever way, so that now the reboot can happen. Yes. And you know, that lovely, anyone that's ever worked with a computer, it gives you all those lovely messages. Yes. Everything. Yes. Mind you, I'm not in that field, so I don't know what the heck they're talking about. But when it comes to the reboot of your body, that's where all these emotions will come in. Exactly. And you want to listen to it versus just let me hurry up and get to the part where I log in and get back into the computer again.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that language is also a really important part of like our healing processes, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like language really allows us to like conceptualize and, like you said, take ownership and identify where we have control and like where we can do our part. Mm-hmm. What are your all's thoughts about how, like, you know, we're talking about rest, we're talking about we've heard things like rest is resilient or rest is resistance, mm-hmm. wellness being a commodity right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you think that has also maybe caused some people to look at finding peace or engaging in rest? And we're more so engaging in like avoidance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I jump in?
Jump in.
The one that I wanted to say about is that capitalism going always turn and twist
it's do what
a
it
good
is.
Thing into something not so good. But I think that part about like wellness or self-care being things that you do versus me getting a deeper understanding of self does kind of allude or I guess align with that idea of where people think that rest is a privilege.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because if I don't have the money. Yeah.
You said do, right? Like I was thinking more so like, because I do think that the intention takes action. So perhaps there is going to be some level of doing even your intention to rest.
Yeah.
But particularly putting a monetary value on it, like self-care and rest being something that you pay for.
Yes.
That being the thing that kind of shifts people to looking at it more as a privilege versus like my inherent right.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm like, I think about the fact that like, whenever you ask any of your clients, okay, what do you do for self-care? What are they? Oh yeah. Well, you know, right.
I haven't gone to
get a massage and all of those things. And I remember, I forgot who someone or where I read it. Those are surface level or maintenance. I think it was you. Yeah. You were like, those are things that help maintain.
Yeah.
That's not the way in which that you take care of yourself. And remember, I think we talked about self-care. I had read it somewhere is how you respect, you love and you nurture yourself. Mm-hmm. And that can happen in ways that don't require money.
Yeah.
Because I went through and I looked at things. There's spiritual rest, mental rest, emotional rest,
thank you.
Creative rest. Mm-hmm. And Black women often do all of those things simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Like they're always giving or doing something. Their mind is always problem solving and processing and thinking about stuff or how do I give here? How do I do here? Yeah. When rest sometimes is the absence of doing and giving to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. That being space.
But
right?
That's hard for a lot of people who their identity, their purpose, their role in the family has been to be the glue, the carpet that is or the stairs, the elevator,
like all the tools.
It's very hard when you're the one that has upheld everything.
Yeah.
So it feels like when you take a step back, everything is going to crash. Yeah. And at times it does. So it's not like a myth or a thing that's like, oh, that's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. It genuinely
likely will.
That
way. How do people like, how do we know when we're maybe, using rest or using other ways to find peace as a way to avoid versus really actively participating and engaging in that?
Well, come back to me after I say this, but because I'm speaking even though my thoughts aren't fully formed. I would say one is that capitalism really pushes us to believe we're broken.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
So oftentimes when you feel like you need to, quote, fix yourself, it's usually the time that you're actually not stepping into rest.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You're stepping into just another thing for a temporary, quote, fix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because none of us are broken. We're just living in our humanity.
Sure. It's just our experience.
Yeah.
And that is something I had to realize when I had to make the decision to take time for me, which is that for so long I would point to things and go, I felt very dutiful about life. I have to do this. I have to do that. So I have to fix myself. I have to keep up this facade.
Do the work.
Be strong. Beautiful. I got to carry this. And, you know, I'm the first born in the United States. So I've got to make sure my family has an excellent name and all of that. And as you said, Stephanie, when things crash, would anytime there was a glitch in the system, I would feel like I need to fix myself because I was broken. So I had that kind of identity. So I would say that there are other things, but I would say sometimes if you're the person who's like, I have a army of folks to make sure I can maintain, or I'm the person that's like, if I let go, I know everything will crumble or things like that. I think it's a fixing mindset that is very different. Rest asks you to fully, a liberating form of self-acceptance.
Yes.
To deeply hold your humanity and realize you're human.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I know I didn't answer the question directly, but it was something came up.
It's like
nuanced way of seeing yourself in the moment.
Yeah, like really checking into yourself and what is going on. And what we've kind of been talking about here is like centering our values, right? Like
yes. And mind you, even figuring out what yours are and not the ones that you just adopted or upheld from your family. Because I feel like one of the things that you had said earlier that I had written about that I thought was so interesting is that like whenever I told myself that I should not like try to do things because I would look silly or it would be a waste of time or, you know, I didn't have anyone to do it with. So it must not be like that important. Right. It kept me not only from trying new hobbies, having new experiences, making new friends, building a new skill set, like just like honestly, even like keeping my brain fresh and new. And I think like I inherited that from like my dad or inherited that from like my upbringing. Cause I often remember like my little self wanted to do a bunch of little things like let's act, let's do this, let's do that. And I remember getting a lot of messaging that like, that was weird. That was odd. Why would you want to do that? Or like, that's like a thing. And so then now realizing that I kind of absorbed that and it didn't show up when I was younger or even in my like teen or even my 20s, but now I'm in my 30s. I'm like, I'm finding myself being very hesitant about doing things that I wasn't as so before. So I feel like when you talk about, when we talk about peace or sometimes these like ways in which that we convince ourselves that we are protecting ourselves or that we are actually at peace is really more of like fear guiding us and keeping us from like newness and just more experiences.
Yeah, centering that emotion.
So this is like a great conversation.
Yeah, I know. That we've been having. I want to close us out with perhaps us having the opportunity to write a love letter to ourselves. I'm hoping this is something that our listeners can participate in as well. What parts of yourself are still asking for permission to be free? And what would your love letter say to comfort or encourage these parts of yourself? Okay, so my authentic and vulnerable self is still asking for permission to be free. She is constantly facing fear of perception or not doing the right thing. A part of my liberation is being okay with making mistakes, sometimes being unlikable or unruly when my values of justice are not being in, are not in alignment. I know that in every moment I'm making steps towards rest by being my, by being and staying aligned with my values and being my authentic self each way. I know that as long as I stay on this path, I'm taking one step forward each day and I don't have to rush myself. I can just stay on the path.
Okay, well, that's
beautiful. Thank you.
All right. Here's how I started my letter. JJJ. You are love. The part of you that's still asking for permission is the part of you that feels the need to explain herself. You know who you are and you know whose you are. You have learned to trust the spirit in you without permission. So stop explaining and keep doing and apologize only when it's needed. That's your freedom, right?
Wow. I love this.
Yeah, I want to read mine less and less. Go
ahead. Yes. And so what I wrote was, dear Dana, the parts of you asking for permission to be free are the ones with ideas that you believe the world will not understand or handle. And so, girl, let the world catch up. Mm-hmm. And let yourself experience your full self in the process while the world does so. Especially unbridled joy. Love, Dana.
Wow. I love that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Come on, queen. Right. With the crown. Yeah.
Dearest reader. Okay. Dear me. The part of myself asking to be free would be the part of myself that craves newness, adventure, and wants to try things that I haven't done before. I want to tell her that she's not disgusting. She's not immature. And maturity doesn't rule over what feels freeing and right. You're worthy of relating. You're not selfish for wanting time to yourself. It's okay to give yourself time away from others that take away more than they give. And it's okay to find your way back to the people who give you more than they take.
Good deal.
I love that. This made my heart very full.
It really did.
I love this. I hope that it had the same impact on our listeners and that you all can take more from this and continue on your journeys around rest and liberation. Definitely check in Aldana's podcast to get more tips because she was dropping some gems today. So,
well, I think it's fitting to say, yeah.
How can we reach you?
Walk away after you tell us how we can reach you. But what do you want the audience to walk away with?
Yes. So people can reach me at therestofus.podcast on Instagram or Dana Tenille, TENILLE Weeks, WEEKES. Mm-hmm. On Instagram as well. We are currently building a website.
Yes,
and it's also going to help build community.
Yes.
So
awesome.
Once that website is out, it will be posted on those forums as well. And I think the one thing that I want folks to know is something I put in my love letter. Let the world catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you. And a lot of people will give you scrutiny or question, and it's because they do not understand. But do it anyways and let the world catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note,
yes. We
want you to do you. And part of doing you is doing us. And checking us out. And being in bed with us, on the couch with us. Not in bed, sorry. Inappropriate.
Oh, Lord.
So you can catch us. We want to hear from you. So please email us at couchchronicletad@gmail.com. And, of course, follow us on Instagram, at Couch Chronicles, YouTube, Apple,
all of that.
TikTok, Amazon.
Leave us comments too. We want to talk to y'all.
Yes. And also rate us. You know, we want to make sure we're doing good.
Like and subscribe.
Five stars. All the way through.
All right, you know, we will close it out. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Liberation.
See ya.
Bye.